2021, we all have hopes that it's going to be better than 2020. It's been so easy when talking about the events that have transpired over the past few months, 6 months, 8 months, to start spiraling down as conversations go, spiraling downward into frustration and anger over the truth, whatever that may be out there, the information that we're being fed. Relationships between people have been broken, friends have been divided, families have been divided, churches have been divided, and the one being that benefits from this is what? Is whom? Satan. He loves it. He is the one that loves to divide, and it's so easy to fall into his trap. More often than not, at the end of my daily conversations with my mom, as we talk about things and stuff that's going on in the world and of the day, one or the other of us, after talking about these events, will usually say, "But God." But God, reminding each other that God is in control, that God is truth, that God's truth never changes and God's truth is always right, and that we've got to get our eyes back on the person of Jesus Christ and Jesus only. And I found my mind and my heart going back over and over to A.B. Simpson and his heart for Jesus and Jesus only. And as we look into the new year, my heart's desire for myself, for my family, for our church, for each one who is listening, is that our focus will always remain, or perhaps come back to, Jesus himself and Jesus only and his kingdom. Seek first, he said, the kingdom, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the darkest valley or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Albert Benjamin Simpson, born in 1843, died in 1919, was one of the most important Christian workers of his day. He was a tireless soul winner and was active in raising up new believers and training Christian workers. He began his service as a Presbyterian minister, but later resigned after realizing the inherent frustrations in trying to serve the Lord, particularly in missions, within the denominational framework that didn't have a great deal of interest for reaching the lost and the poor. He wrote over 70 books on the Bible and the Christian life. He also wrote many hymns and poems, which are full of inspiration, truth, and great doctrine. We've sang a couple of them this morning. We're going to end with one as well. On top of all that, he was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, a movement to reach the lost all around the world. This morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I'm taking one of A.B. Simpson's messages, permission granted by the Christian Missionary Alliance to use, and I'm going to preach it, adapting it to my style and to today's time. And I don't think he'd have a problem with that, because what he wanted to get across to everyone was a person of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He entitled his message, "Himself." And he based it off of Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, where Paul says this, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I will fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery," listen, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one, we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ, the energy of Christ, so powerfully works in me. Now he began his message, entitled himself, by saying, and here I'm starting his message. He says, "I wish to speak to you about Jesus and Jesus only. I often hear people say, 'I wish I could get hold of divine healing, but I can't.' Sometimes they say, 'I've got it.' If I ask them, 'What have you got?' the answer is sometimes, 'I've got the blessings.' Sometimes it's, 'I've got the theory.' Sometimes it's, 'I've got the healing.' Sometimes, 'I've got the sanctification.' But I thank God that we have been taught that it's not the blessing, it's not the healing, it's not the sanctification, it's not the thing, it's not the it that we want, but it's something better. It's the Christ. It's Himself. That comes over and over out, that comes out over and over again in God's Word. In Matthew 18, verse 17, the King James Version puts it like this: Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. You see, it's the person of Jesus Christ that we want. There's a lot of people who get the idea, but don't get anything out of it. They get it into their head, and it into their conscience, and it into their will, but somehow they don't get Him into their life and spirit, because they've only got the outward expression and symbol of the spiritual reality. I once saw a picture of the Constitution of the United States, he says, very skillfully engraved on a copper plate, so that when you looked at it closely, it was nothing more than a piece of writing, but when you looked at it from a distance, it was the face of George Washington. The face shined out in the shading of the letters at a little distance, and I saw the person, not the words, nor the ideas. And I thought, that is the way to look at the Scriptures and understand the thoughts of God, to see in them the face of love, shining through and through, no ideas, no doctrines, but Jesus Himself as a life and source and sustaining presence of all of life. I prayed a long time to get sanctified, and sometimes I thought I had it. And once I felt something, and I held on with desperate grip because I was afraid I'd lose it. And I stayed awake the whole night afraid that it would go. And of course, it went with the next sensation or the next mood. Of course, I lost it because I didn't hold on to Him. I had been taking a little water from the reservoir when I could have been all the time receiving from Him fullness from the open channels. I went to meetings, I heard people speak of joy. I even thought I had joy, but I didn't keep it because I didn't have Himself as my joy. Finally, He said to me very tenderly, very graciously, "My child, just take me. And let me be in you the constant supply of all this, myself." And when at last I got my eyes off my sanctification and my experience of it, and just placed them on Christ in me, I found instead of an experience, the Christ, larger than the moment's need, the Christ that had all that I would ever need, who was given to me right then and forever. And when I saw Him like that, it was such rest. It was all right, and right forever. Because I not only had what I could hold that little hour, but I had in Him all that I would need for the next hour and the next and the next. Until sometimes I get a glimpse of what it will be in a million years from now, when we will, according to Matthew, shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father and have all the fullness of God that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 3. And so I thought the healing would be an it too. That the Lord would take me like an old rundown clock, wind me up, and set me going like a machine. But it's not like that at all. I found it was Himself coming instead and giving me just what I needed at the moment. I wanted to have a lot of extra blessings so that I could feel rich, a stockpile laid up for many years, so that I wouldn't feel like I had to be dependent on Him every day. But He never gave me a surplus of blessings. I never had more holiness or healing at one time than I needed for that moment. And He said, "My child, you must come to me for the next breath, because I love you so dearly, I want you to come all the time. If I gave you a great supply, you would do without me and wouldn't come to me so often. Now you have to come to me every second and lie on my breast every moment." He actually gave me a great fortune, placed thousands and millions on credit. But He gave me a checkbook with one condition: you can never draw more than you need at the time. But every time I needed a check, there was the name of Jesus on it. And so it brought more glory to Him, kept His name in front of mine, and God was glorified in His Son. I had to learn to take my spiritual life from Him every second and breathe Himself in as I breathe and breathe myself out. Just before the message, I'll stand over here. Just before the message, we sang that song, "Breathing In and Breathing Out." The lyrics were written by A.B. Simpson. In that first verse, if you remember, it said, "Jesus, breathe Thy Spirit on me. Teach me how to breathe Thee in. Help me pour from deep within me all my life of self and sin. I am breathing out my own life that I may be filled with Thine, letting go my strength and weakness, breathing in Thy life divine." That's what he learned. So for every moment, Simpson continued, both for the spirit and for the body, we've got to receive. You may say, isn't that a terrible bondage to always be dependent? What, he says, to be dependent on the one you love, your dearest friend? Never, he says. It comes so naturally, so spontaneously, kind of like a fountain without thinking about it, without effort, because true life is always easy and overflowing. I'm very dependent on my wife, he said. But it's not a strain, it's not awkward, it's not a bondage, because I love her and she loves me. And when we're in harmony, it's the easiest thing in the world. And now I thank God that I have Him, not only what I have room for, but also for what I don't have room for. But I know there will be room for it when I need it. I'm like the little bottle in the sea, as full of water as it can get. Just as the bottle is in the sea and the sea is in the bottle, so I am in Christ and Christ is in me. But besides the bottle full in the sea, there's a whole ocean beyond. The difference is that the bottle has to be filled over and over again every day. Now, the question for each of us is not, what do you think of the gift of tongues? Or what do you think of divine healing? But the question should be, what do you think of Christ? There came a time when there was a little thing between me and Christ. I illustrated by a little conversation I had with a friend who said, "You were healed by faith." I said, "Oh no, I was healed by Christ." "What's the difference?" "There's a great difference," he said. You see, there was once a time when even faith seemed to come between me and Jesus. I thought I had to work up the faith. So I worked hard to get the faith. Finally, I thought I had it, and that if I put my whole weight on it, it would hold. So when I thought I had got the faith, I said, "Heal me." But you see, I was trusting in myself. I was trusting in my own heart. I was trusting in my own faith. I was asking the Lord to do something for me because of something in me, not because of something in Him. So the Lord allowed the devil to test my faith, and the devil devoured it like a roaring lion. And I found myself so broken down that I didn't think I had any faith. You see, God allowed it to be taken away until I felt I didn't have any. And then God seemed to speak to me very gently, saying, "Never mind, my child, you have nothing. But I am perfect power. I am perfect love. I am faith. I am your life. I am the preparation for the blessing, and then I am the blessing too. I am all within and all without and all forever." It's just having faith in God, as Jesus said in Mark 11. In Galatians 2:20 says, "The life I live in the body, I live not by faith on the Son of God, but by faith in the Son of God." He says, having faith on something puts the emphasis on us. But having faith in something puts the emphasis on the subject. It's interesting that the King James Version says, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And that's it, he says. It's not our faith. We have no faith in us any more than we have life or anything else in us. We have nothing but emptiness and a vacuum, and we've got to just be open and ready to take Him in to do everything. We have to take His faith as well as His life and His healing, and simply have to say, "I live by the faith of the Son of God." You see, my faith is not worth anything. If I had to pray for anyone, I wouldn't depend on my faith at all. I would say, "Here am I, Lord. If you want me to be a channel of blessing to this one, just breathe into me all that I need." It's simply Christ and Christ alone. Now, here's another question. Is your body yielded to Christ for Him to live and work in you like that? The Lord Jesus Christ has a body as well as you and I, only it's perfect. It's the body, not of a man, but the Son of Man. Have you ever considered why He's called the Son of Man? The Son of Man means that Jesus Christ is the one typical, comprehensive, universal, all-inclusive man. Jesus is the one man that contains in Himself all that man ought to be, all that man needs to have. It's all in Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead and all the fullness of perfect manhood has been embodied in Christ. And He stands now as a summing up of all that man needs. His Spirit is all that our spirit needs, and He just gives us Himself. His body possesses all that our body needs. He has a heart beating with the strength that our heart needs. He has organs and functions that aren't needed for life, not for Himself, but for humanity. He doesn't need strength for Himself. The energy which enabled Him to rise and ascend from the tomb above all the forces of nature was not for Himself. That marvelous body belongs to our body. You are a member of His body. Your heart has a right to draw from His heart all that it needs. Your physical life has a right to draw from His physical life, its support and strength. And so it's not you, but it's just the precious life of the Son of God. Will you accept Him like that today? Simpson asks. And then you will not only be healed, you will have a new life for all you need, a flood of life that will sweep disease away and then remain a fountain of life for all your future needs. Folks, we need to take Him in His fullness. It almost seems to me as if I'm bringing you a powerful little talisman today, he says, as if God had given me a little secret for everyone here and said to me, go and tell them if they will take it. It will be a talisman of power, spiritual power, wherever they go, and it will carry them through difficulty and danger and fear and life and death and eternity. If I could stand on this platform and say, I've received from heaven a secret of wealth and success, which God will give freely through my hand to everyone who will take it, we'd probably need a larger sanctuary for all the people who would come. But what I'm showing you in His Word today is a truth which is more precious. The Apostle Paul tells us that there is a secret, a great secret, which, as Paul describes it, is a mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. The world has been seeking after this in vain. The wise men from the east hoped they might find it. And now God says it is now disclosed to the Lord's people. And Paul went throughout his world just to tell to those that were able to receive it. And do you know what that simple secret is? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of glory. The word mystery means secret, and this is a great secret. And I tell you today, actually, I can give you, if you'll take it from Him, not from me, I can give you a secret which has been to me phenomenal. Let me give you an example, he says, from my own life. Years ago, I came to Him burdened with guilt and fear. I tried that simple secret, and it took away all my fear and sin. A number of years went by, and I found sin overwhelming me again, and my temptations seemed too strong for me. I came to Him a second time, and He whispered to me, Christ in you. And I had victory, rest, and blessing. Then my body broke down in every possible way. I had always worked hard, and from the age of 14, I studied and labored and spared no strength. I took charge of a large congregation when I was 21. I totally broke down a half a dozen times, and my last physical exam was worn out. A number of times, I was actually afraid that I would drop dead in the pulpit. I couldn't climb up any height without totally losing my breath because of a broken down heart and an exhausted nervous system. Then I learned of the Lord's healing, but I struggled against it. I was afraid of it. You see, I had been taught in theological seminaries that the age of the supernatural was past. And I couldn't go back from my early training. You see, my head was in my way. But finally, when I was brought to attend, quote, the funeral of my dogmatics, as my professor, Mr. Schrenk, says, the Lord whispered to me the little secret, Christ in you. From that moment on, I received Him for my body, and I had, as I had done for my soul. I was made so strong and well that work has been a perfect delight. For years now, I've spent my summer vacation in the hot city of New York, preaching and working among the masses as I never did before. Besides the work of my home and college, I've been able to write an immense amount of books and a lot of other stuff, as he puts it, as well. But the Lord didn't just remove my sufferings. It was more than simple healing. He gave me Himself in such a way that I lost the painful consciousness of my physical organs. That's the best health that He gave. I thank the Lord that He keeps me from thinking about all my aches and pains, and from worrying about all the care that I have to give to this old body. And in His place, He's given me a simple life that's a delight and a service for the Master that is a rest and joy. But on top of the physical issues I used to have, I had a poor sort of mind, he says. I seemed heavy and dull, one that didn't think or work quickly. But I wanted to write and speak for Christ and to have a quick memory so I could have the little knowledge that I gained always be there with me. I went to Christ about it, and I asked if he had anything for me in this way. And he replied, "Yes, my child, I am made unto you wisdom." I was always making mistakes, which I regretted, even when I didn't think I'd make them again. But when he said that he would be my wisdom, that we may have the mind of Christ, that he could cast down imaginations and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that he would make the brain and head right, then I took him for all that. And since then, I have been kept free from this mental disability, and work for me has been rest. I used to write 2 sermons a week, and it took me 3 days to complete one. But now, besides all the writing I do, I've constantly got so much more to write in my head, besides leading many meetings a week, and all of it's delightfully easy for me. You see, the Lord has helped me mentally, and I know he is a savior of my mind as well as my spirit. But you know, besides all that, I had a very stubborn will. And I asked him, "Can't you be my will too?" He said, "Yes, my child, it is God who works in you to will and to act." Then he taught me how and when to be firm and how and when to yield. A lot of people have a strong will, but they don't know how to back off, he says, or to give in at the proper moment. I also came to him for power for his work and all the resources for his service, and he has never failed me. As Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Let me ask you a question this morning, very similar one that Simpson would have asked. Who is Christ to you? You know, it's easy to think of him as sometimes a good luck charm, right? That you rub with a quick prayer when you need him. It's easy not even to think about him until we're in trouble or we're in need or suffering or something's going on. He's often treated like a sugar daddy for what we want. He becomes kind of a magic genie that we go to and we rub that little lamp and send up our wishes. Or perhaps he's just part of the proverbial God that everyone talks about, a deity out there somewhere kind of looking after us, something that makes us feel better because we know he's there, he's watching over us. Is he something or someone that perhaps the preacher talks about, but it's really hard to figure him out? Maybe he's just a swear word that we hear every day of our life out there. Folks, Jesus Christ needs to become everything for us. You've heard people, when asked about who their sweetheart is to them, they say, "Oh, she's my life," or "He's my life." Why do they say that? Because that's where their mind is all the time. Everything they do is calculated to please their sweetheart. Every free moment they have, they want to be with them. Jesus needs to become our all in all. He needs to become our life. He needs to become the one upon whom our thoughts dwell. He needs to become the one upon whom we depend for everything. And as Simpson shared, he needs to be the Savior of our soul. He needs to be the Savior of our body. He needs to be the Savior of our mind. He needs to be the Savior of our will. He needs to be the Savior of our strength and power to serve him and accomplish his will. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, says, "There is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, whom through whom all things came and through whom we live. And Paul tells us in Colossians 3:4 that Christ is our life. And have we allowed him to be that? Have we allowed him to be our life? I've found myself practicing that song that we sang, breathing myself out and breathing him in. I physically breathe out. I'm breathing myself out and I'm breathing in Christ. If you haven't given your whole life over to Christ, let's start this new year by doing that. Breathing yourself out and breathing him in, literally saying, I give you my soul, I give you my body, I give you my will, I give you my mind, I give you my weakness, I give you everything. You see, God can't mean anything to us without Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Ask him to be truly, to be Lord of your life. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Every single day, we should go round abounding. That only happens when Christ becomes our all in all. When Simpson came to this understanding, he wrote this great hymn that we're going to sing in just a moment. Once it was a blessing, the it, remember that he was talking about? Once it was a blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. My prayer is that we, as we go into this new year, that we will be seeking himself, himself, himself alone, seeking his kingdom, his righteousness, himself, and everything else will be added because it's all in him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus himself. Thank you that Jesus can be our life. That's a discipline that we need to work on. I need to work on. To be consciously taking Jesus in, making Jesus my life, making everything about me about Jesus, making my will about Jesus' will, making my thoughts about Jesus' thoughts, making my speech about Jesus' love, making all my activities about your word and being righteous before you. I want Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would give us the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, empowering us so that we would be one with you and that our lives would shine Jesus out. And Father, as we go into this new year, I pray that it will be all about Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.